broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, I understand that at Stream Song, the fourth course is being designed by Coor and Crenshaw. It's going to be called The Chain. Wow, I've seen a drawing of it. It looks really, really cool. And it's going to be, I don't know, it looks like maybe some people have said you might be able to play the course with 14, fewer clubs, rather. Yes, so it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm excited about that. Just a heads up, you know, if you're traveling today, you're going to Turtle Bay, you're going to the North Shore, you don't want to take the Windward Coast because Kamehameha Highway is closed, shut down completely in Punalu'u, pretty much at the mouth of Punalu'u Stream by Punalu'u Beach Park. There is a possible 30-inch water main break. They're trying to get down to it. One car was just about submerged when they tried to go through that. Remember, don't go through water and that you can't see the road below you. Anyway, that's happening, so avoid Kamehameha. Go around and use the freeways or Kamehameha going the other way. So good morning. Yes, welcome into the clubhouse. We're streaming live if you'd like to be at radiogolfclub.com. You've got things to do. You're traveling. You can always go there. It's radiogolfclub.com/listen, and that's where you'll find the live stream and the podcast. We've got some great guests today on this partly sunny with scattered showers kind of day. Mostly sunny on the leeward side. Really hot. You need sunscreen. The high expected to be 87. We are lucky still. Trade winds 15 miles per hour, 10 to 15. So I'm just hoping they hold through the summer because, man. Okay, we've got Ron Syrak on, contributor Golf Channel and golf writer, of course. Susan Havens, director of sales and marketing at Ka'anapali Golf Course. We're going to be talking about Family Golf Month. Parker McLaughlin, he's going to be with us, the short game guru. Wait until you hear all the people who have benefited from his knowledge and what he's done. A special club, one person called it, this can't be legal, that kind of club, but it's legal. Mark Rolfing is with us. First off, NBC Golf Channel analyst, commentator, walking the fairways with the elite players for 30 plus years. We'll be back with Mark after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7. Licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And with me is Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel, NBC Sports, contributor to the book called The Dad's Advice Project. New dads, check it out. And member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle, and what an honor. Two of the absolute best at what they do, Ron Syrak and Parker McLaughlin. I can't wait to hear what they have to say, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, today. Yeah, you are stellar. Somebody on Twitter said, Mark Rolfing, he's the best. So let's start off with a major championship that's happening right now, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. A $9 million purse. Boy, out of the blue, like in the middle of tournament week, that must have been something. All of a sudden, the girls are going, oh, Lordy, I've got something on the line here.
Yeah, it's really amazing to me what KPMG has done to elevate that championship and the PGA of America. I've had the privilege of covering that tournament four or five times now in the last decade, and it has become one of the best golf tournaments in the world. And if you look at where they're going with KPMG over the next few years, they're going to the great courses around America. You know, and forget whether it's women's golf or men's golf, that literally is becoming one of the best tournaments in golf.
It is. It is. And Ingi Chun blew everybody away. She was in the lead by some 6 strokes after shooting a 64. She came back with a 69. She is still, I'm going to say, 4 strokes in the lead. Se-Yung Kim is coming on strong. Hannah Green, Jennifer Kupcho. Now, we watched Jennifer Kupcho at the Masters. That was an incredible duel with Maria Fassi the Masters? What's the name of the court, the tournament that they play with the women?
Oh, yeah, National Women's Amateur Championship.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. That was an incredible duel to see those two. And I expected Fassi to be kind of higher up on the leaderboard, but Jennifer Kupcho is really strong.
Yeah, she's the real deal. Tremendous ball striker. And by the way, folks, don't go to sleep on that tournament thinking it's over right now. It is not at all. That golf course has just been renovated, Congressional. It is really hard. There's a lot of very dangerous holes coming down the stretch there. So this thing is not over by any means.
You know, it looks hard. I was looking at pictures of it going, oh, my word.
Don't even recognize that they've taken out more than 1,000 trees and redone the greens, and it had quite a bit of rain, so it's playing really long this week.
Yeah. Ingi, just a thought on that I really enjoyed hearing. I was watching Golf Central, and she was talking with her coach, or her coach approached her and said something to the effect of, you know, you've got your game. Now have some fun out there. You don't worry about the mechanics anymore. You're already great.
Yeah, I think that was good advice. And, you know, one of the big differences that I see with the ladies compared to the men is the purse structure. And I think because the women tend to play for much less money than the men, there's actually more pressure on them and more pressure to be thinking about playing for the money, which is never a good thing. You know, if you finish, let's say, 30th in an LPGA event now, you're barely going to break even for the week. And so there's a totally different kind of pressure on the LPGA players because, you know, there is no equity in the purses at this point. It was great to see KPMG raise the purse. If that could happen every week, it would change. But I think Ingi Chun has been freed up now, and who knows? Maybe she doesn't have to think about the money anymore.
Yeah, truly. And she can relax and just enjoy playing and have some fun. Yeah, okay, so this is really our focus. Although... One of the funniest things I saw this week, Mark, was a golf cart gone wild. And it was at the Travelers. And apparently, I don't know, the runaway golf cart at the Travelers Championship it went right into the water. Nobody was hurt. It was all by itself. It just, and it managed to avoid the fescue. And I think one of the guys, you know, on the superintendent's staff said, you know, how come the cart was able to avoid that grass and we can't teach our members to do that?
Funny. I thought the guy was, that volunteer was going to try to jump in and stop it. There's no way. He'd have gone right in the lake with the thing. So I don't know. It reminds me a little of what's going on with LIV Golf right now.
Thank you.
They got so much money, they're like a runaway train, and how are you going to stop it? Because it's not good for the game.
You know, the thing about LIV, and I think this is like the crux of the issue, is it has no business model. It doesn't need a business model. It's got some deep pockets that are so deep, but we couldn't even understand how deep these pockets are. And they have no charity element at all. So nobody's going to benefit outside of the guys getting old 200, you know, how much? It's beyond.
Yeah. Well, three of them got almost $500 million. Between DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Mickelson, they got about $450 million. You know, the Saudis, I think, believe now that they were successful. in signing those guys up. So they've rolled the Brinks truck back up and loaded it up with another pile of money, and they're gonna offer more. But if you take a look, really, Danielle, and analyze who they are getting to go play in that league, they're getting players that have a big question mark as to whether or not they're going to be competitive in their careers going forward. And that's for a number of different reasons. They're getting older guys. They're getting guys whose career, best part of their career is behind them. I would put Westwood and Poulter in that category. They're getting guys that have injury issues like DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. And I don't know. All you have to do is take a look at the U.S. Open. There were 17 players that played in LIV Golf in London. 17 of those guys came and played in the U.S. Open in Boston. And nobody of those 17, not one, finished in the top 20 of the U.S. Open. Only two of the 17 made the cut. You can see that they're buying players, but they're getting players that are making that decision for the big money because they're concerned about their competitive nature of their career going forward.
Yeah, they just want to have a bank account. Some of the, you know, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, young guys, young families, this, you know, not knowing whether or not, you know, Dustin Johnson, he came in second recently, came on kind of strong, but not showing game like he did in the past. Brooks Koepka, as you mentioned, the injuries, not able to really turn it on. And I have fears for Bryson DeChambeau, period.
I have big competitive fears. Besides, he's saying unbelievable stuff. He says that he made the decision to go to LIV Golf because of his family. He's not married and doesn't have any kids. So he probably should have said because of potentially a future family. I don't know, but he doesn't have a family. Here's what I see, Daniel. I don't see these players getting any better because, first of all, you know, you're not going to have to work as hard. I don't think they're driven to work as hard. Certainly, Dustin Johnson's already said, hey, if I can play LIV Golf four majors, you know, and go fishing the rest of the time, I'm going to be happy. That's not Rory McIlroy's attitude. That's not Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas's or Colin Morikawa's. Those guys want to get better. And I think you will see a pretty low quality of play on LIV Golf, as we saw with Charles Schwartzel winning. He's not even in the top 100 in the world. You know, he made more money, you know, in 1 week for an exhibition than he had in the last 5 years of competitive golf. So I don't know. It's a shaky business model of which there really is no plan, but they have a lot of money. And everybody thought, you know, the numbers that they'd be throwing around would be at one level, and they're coming out so much higher that some of the players just simply don't want to miss out, and they're jumping for it. And some of the TV announcers also,
yes.
Which is another travesty. You money they're throwing around amongst the TV guys.
Yeah, I don't even know, but I know that some left, and I can only imagine that it would have taken a lot of money for them to go. You know, but didn't you think that with what happened on the U.S. Open was perfect? The competition, Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, Zalatoris, Matsuyama, all these guys, they were top of their game, playing strong, competitive, putting on a show, just like the NFL or the NBA or any professional competitive organization. That's sport, not LIV
Golf. You're so right, Danielle. And that's where the PGA Tour has to focus their whole communication plan. You know, people can have different opinions about the Saudi money and whether it's blood money or whatever, you know, whether you take the moral high ground or not on that thing, that's people's personal decision. You don't hear me talking about that much because I'm totally convinced that it's the competitive nature that's going to set aside the PGA Tour. If you think about what happened at Brookline in Boston at the end of that U.S. Open, that can't happen in a LIV Golf event because they have a shotgun start. You're never going to know who's leading the tournament and what they're doing on the hole right ahead. So the fact that Scottie Scheffler, you know, was trying to chase down Matt Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris in the group ahead of them on 18 in a LIV golf exhibition, he's going to be over on the other side of the course, maybe. And that is what defines competition, players responding under pressure. The U.S. Open was the best answer that PGA Tour golf could literally have to LIV. I think it was tremendous. And so was Canada the week before. We've had two phenomenal back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome to watch. Truly amazing. Let me ask you, Rory McIlroy just popped in my mind, and, you know, he did okay, tied for fifth with Colin Morikawa. All these names, all these young guys, all these competitive young men who are coming on strong, even some of the guys who've been around for a while, Keegan Bradley, doing so well. But Rory, really outspoken about the Saudi blood money, if you will, and I'm not wanting to have anything to do with that LIV golf. He's playing so strong. He wins, and he was in such good position yesterday. He was so collected when he was asked about that round of golf. You know, it was wonderful to watch him say, well, you know, I just a couple of shots and I've just completely lost my round. And I've given all these people an opportunity to come right on into the tournament, you know?
Yeah. Rory's tired, Danielle. He's played 4 weeks in a row. He never does that. 4 weeks of highly intense golf. And he did it because I think he believed that this was a good time for him to be competitive, given the position he's in and sort of becoming the spokesman for the PGA Tour. He's told us in Boston that he really had a reset after COVID. He really felt like he needed to kind of do a start over because he didn't come out of the COVID stretch there playing very well. And what he figured out when he took a little time off was that what is important to him in his life, and PGA Tour golf and playing at the highest level and winning, I think, became more important than he had been making it. And what I'm seeing with Rory is he is playing on the course now with a chip on his shoulder. And I always felt like that's good for Rory. I sometimes think Rory doesn't get upset enough. I wanted him to really get mad from time to time about something, because I think that motivates him a little bit. And you know, Koepka plays with a chip on his shoulder all the time. Rory rarely does, but I think when he does have a little chip, he plays better, and we're seeing that right now.
Yeah.
But I think what we saw yesterday, he's getting a little tired. He needs a week off.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about the 4 weeks in a row, that's travel and that's hard work, and we just see it on the course. We don't see life. Yeah, and yeah, that's a lot. Let's go to Jay Monahan, because he addressed the media, and Century Tournament of Champions is going to benefit greatly. In addition to that, we don't have the year-long season anymore. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yay!
Right?
Yeah, so starting in 24, Century is going to be back to being the season opening event again, which is really good. That's the way it was when we moved it to January, you know, 20 plus years ago, almost 25 years ago now. Golf is going to get a little bit of an off season at the highest level. You know, I've been harping on that forever. Everybody needs an off season, the players, the fans, just like other sports. You know, Century now has become one of the designated eight tournaments. There are eight tournaments that got gigantic purse increases, the World Golf Championships, the Players, the Invitationals, and Century. And I think that is really, really good. Now, having said that, Danielle, I do have a concern for our other PGA Tour event in Hawaii, because what I'm starting to see is that you are literally going to have A-level events on the PGA Tour, which are the big ones, including Century, and then you're going to have B-level events. How is the Sony Open, you know, going to continue to be able to compete for players?
Well, if you want, you know, if there's a B-level and you're pretty good, maybe you've got a chance to get to the Century level.
Yep, you could, but that's really not what the fans want. What they want to see is the star players, and what we've got to figure out is a way to keep some of the guys that are coming to Maui in Hawaii for 2 weeks. You know, Rory typically doesn't do that, although he didn't even play Century last year. I think he will this coming year. I think all the top players will play it now. But last year we saw a little bit of a drop-off. Not as many guys played both Century and Sony, and now with this huge purse discrepancy, I could see it happening again. And I just want to make sure that we protect Sony here and that they can remain competitive.
Absolutely. And you're talking a lot about, too, the fact that there are revised field sizes for the FedEx Cup players. 70,
yes.
Right? Only 70 players now. Talk to us about what's changed with the numbers.
Yeah, so in the past, Danielle, 125 players on the PGA Tour made it to the PGA Tour FedEx Cup playoffs, 125, and those players were all exempt for the following season. That number is now reduced to 70, not quite in half, but it's a much smaller number. Make the playoffs. And so the first playoff event will have 70 players. The second one, which is the BMW Championship, will have 50 players, which is less. They used to have 70. And then the Tour Championship will still have 30. So what they're doing is they're making the playoffs more important in golf, just like you see in baseball, in the NFL. The playoffs are everything. You know, the World Series is everything. I think it's good. That's the way it ought to be. Players should be rewarded at the top. And that's basically what the PGA Tour is trying to do to offset this sort of play by the Saudis to pay big money to get top players. You know, the top players staying on the PGA Tour now probably are going to be able to almost double their earnings from what they're currently making. Scottie Scheffler, for example, has already set the all-time record for money made in a year at about $12 million. I could see a time under this new structure where a player can win $20 million in a year.
You know, for the average Joe, when you're good at your game, you know, $12 million a year, and I mean game like your job, whatever you do, to be able to say, you know, I made $12 million this year. Darn it, I have to pay some taxes.
Yeah, that's the problem. You just hit the nail on the head. All the escalation in the money, I mean, people are struggling, you know, to feed their families all over our country, all over the world. I mean, people are struggling to pay mortgages, you know, struggling to get kids through school. And here we are talking about how can we make a bunch of rich guys richer?
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good. It's not a good look for the players, I really don't believe.
No, you're right. And then I loved one of the questions that Monahan took after, you know, is there a time when the players could get a salary and the tournament play income, guaranteed salary? And Monahan just went, well, you know, we're always open to change. But we're running a business here, people. We're running a business, and we got to generate as much revenue as possible and spend it efficiently as possible.
I don't know. You know, meritocracy, that's the word I like about golf.
Yes.
You know, you perform in order to get paid. I hope the day never comes where players are guaranteed. I love the fact that you have to earn every penny on the PGA Tour, and that's what keeps getting these players better and better. If you start paying them huge salaries, you're going to see a drop-off in the quality of play. There's no doubt in my mind.
Always fun talking with you, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. I love what you said during just after the news conference. You really wrapped it up, and thanks for bringing the story right to us here in Hawaii. Where do you go next?
I go to St. Andrews, Scotland. How about that? Am I the luckiest guy in the world or what?
I'm so jealous. You know, I say hi to Bob Bupka, because I think this is his last trek to St. Andrews.
All right. I'll give him a big hug for you. Take care and keep up the good work, Danielle.
Thank you very, very much, Mark. Aloha. We're going to come back with none other than the Short Game Guru. The Short Game Guru is going to help us with that part of the game that he says he lives by the motto that anyone can chip. Anyone can chip. Can you chip? He's going to teach us how after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Idilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Idilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Idilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Come on.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Okay, we've got this really cool addition to the website. It is the Pro Shop, but you get to the Pro Shop by going through radiogolfclub.com. Radiogolfclub.com. And then you'll see merchandise, merch. And then you'll see the Pro Shop. And you can shop for your favorite gear, whether it's accessories and gifts, or if you want brands like Eddie Bauer or the North Face, or there's hats and there's kids stuff and there's ladies stuff and there's men's stuff and there's lots of stuff that you can have for yourself. Or we have gift certificates available now, so you can give a gift certificate and the person that you have no idea what they'd like to have, what color shirt would they like to wear? What kind of hat do they want to wear? What kind of logo would they like to see? You can give them a gift certificate.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour champion, UCLA two-time All-Pac-10, Punahou three-time state golf champ, state volleyball champ. He played two sports. Now you'll find him at shortgameguru.com. Short Game Chef, like the chef in a kitchen. It's the Short Game Chef. Yes, teaching out of TPC Scottsdale. So if you're listening in Arizona, get over there. He is committed to teaching both professionals and amateurs the recipe for short game success. All you got to do is ask a question. You can go to Short Game Chef on Instagram, and he's got 32,000 followers on Instagram. Living by the motto that anyone can chip, he will show you videos that he just shares with everybody. You know, amazing. Parker, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. What a wonderful intro.
Oh, you know, you are so fantastic. And this work you're doing with Bob Vokey, I loved what one of the guys said about it. Is this legal?
I get that question more than you would know. People, they're like, man, this feels like it's cheating. Is it legal? And I said, yeah, it's absolutely legal. And so, you can use them in tournaments. And I think it's a wonderful reminder, as to where you should be.
Okay.
I think especially, inside of 50 yards, you know, I feel like that's where amateurs can be, you know, as close to the pros as possible. Technique can be close. I feel like when we put the drivers in the hands, that's when, you know, the 10 handicapper is not even going to be close to looking like Bryson DeChambeau, you know, or Tiger Woods. But you get a wedge in someone's hand, a putter in someone's hand, you get inside of 50 yards, you can chip it inside of 5 feet, just like a tour pro can. And so that's sort of the motto I've been going by, and I think I can kind of help people get a little bit closer with their short games to what PGA Tour players look like, and that's what these, you know, alignment lines, these flight lines, have been helping people to do.
Let's go backwards just a little bit here, the start, because we're talking about a Bob Vokey assisted club. So, I mean, that Bob Vokey helped you make your dream come true.
I was reading a story
about you had your wife sit on the ground as you got into the wedge setup position.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I kept thinking, you know, as I was diving deeper into the short game, I kept thinking about, man, how can I get, you know, the tour players that I'm helping, they all look pretty similar at setup. And then the amateurs that I'm helping, boy, they were all over the map, all across the board. Setup positions were all over the place. If I can get them in a similar setup spot for a low-flighted bump and run, a mid-flighted pitch shot, or a high-flighted flop shot or bunker shot, boy, now I'm in a position where I can really help these amateurs hit some good shots because they've got a good setup position. Because as we all know, the swing, you know, for a short game shot, the swing is very, very small. And so you better be in a proper setup spot to be able to set yourself up to hit a good shot.
Right. I mean, yes. So she was there, and how did you mark the lines to know? Tell us how you figured this out.
Okay. Yeah. So I had her sitting on the floor there in our kitchen. I was like, I've got this idea, but I'm not sure if it's going to work or not. And she was there with a ruler and a Sharpie, and I told her exactly when the ruler was like what I felt like it was straight up to, you know, my eye line, my nose, and then I had her draw a line on there, and then I would move it over for a pitch shot, and then I would have her draw a line there, then I would lean the shaft forward for, you know, a bump and run shot, and then I had her put a line there, and I was like, huh. I think this might actually work, and I just got to figure out a way to, you know, to mill it and paint it and you know, be able to measure it out and see. And so that's, you know, that's when I went and sought the help of people that are way smarter in that department than I am, the people over at Titleist and Vokey in particular. And I said, this is my idea. I think it could really help people understand how to use these Vokey wedges better. And they bought in, and they liked it. And so we just launched. It's taken us about a year and a half to kind of get it measured out. And now we've got it measured out to where 30 of the best players in the world are. We've measured them, and that's where these lines are. And Vokey and the engineers over there figured out how to put these lines on there precisely so that you can know when you're looking down at it, okay, this is where, you know, the Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth of the world, this is where they are at their setup for this particular shot, and it's where you should be too.
What's the name of the club? What do you call it?
Yeah, so it's on you can find it on Vokey on their WedgeWorks site. So it's their custom site, and you go through and you build a wedge to whatever specs you want. And one of the add-ons on there is called flight lines. And so it basically refers to low flight, mid flight, high flight type of shots. And so I think it's a cool name and describes it pretty well.
Yes, I love the name, flight lines, the flight of my ball. You know, I wanted
to... Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. And Brooks Koepka is the fellow who said this has got to be illegal, right?
Yeah, yeah. I showed it to him. You know, probably last September, and he said, "Wow, this feels like it's cheating." Like, yeah, I know, legal. So yeah, gotten some great responses from tour players, and I get a lot of really neat notes from people. I just got one from a guy who was playing St. Andrews, I believe yesterday or today, and he sent me a picture, and he was playing Kings Barnes and St. Andrews, and he sent me a picture, and the caddies were wearing the Kings Barnes logos, and they were looking at the flight line saying, "This is genius. We got to get this over here at the home of golf."
So, oh, right on.
So it's coming. It's starting to get all over the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. And what you do on your Instagram account, you know, with Short Game Chef, that's at Short Game Chef. Just go there. You do a lot of teaching. You just give it away. You're generous.
Yeah, I think my whole goal is to make the short game approachable and fun. I think that the way that agronomy has gone, it's gotten so good that now, you know, the superintendents can really cut the grass really short at all these golf courses, and the really tight grass. You know, there's really no margin for error there. And so you really got to be precise. And so now that you have to be this precise, you know, I've seen quite a few chipping yips. I've seen people struggle with their chipping. And so my whole goal with this account has been to make the short game approachable, to make it fun, to share a few secrets, to share some of the things I've learned on tour, and just to make the short game a bit more accessible. And then make it a little sexy and fun and cool.
Yeah.
Get the younger kids involved in it and say, hey, you know, we're 20, 21, 22, and we want to think golf is cool. And so I'm trying to bring a little bit of that to it as well. So, in general, just making the short game fun again, you know.
I hear that shortly after you set up your account, you started to get calls from like Kevin Streelman.
Yeah, I've gotten quite a few calls from tour players, and yeah, it was pretty neat. You know, like last week at the U.S. Open, shoot through like two rounds. I looked up at the leaderboard, and it was like, boy, I had like five players in the top 10 that I had worked with.
Wow.
You know, Callum Tarran, Nick Hardy, Joel Damon, Bo Hostler, and I looked up there. I was like, well, I've you know, at least help influence those guys' games in a small little way. And it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that is so, wow, rewarding that, you know, your energy, your work, your teaching, your expertise, you know, it worked for somebody. And to see that over and over and over again must make you feel really great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think probably one of the most rewarding things was definitely seeing Anna Nordqvist. She's been a client of mine for probably 3 years now, and we've developed a great friendship as well. But she won the Women's British Open last summer, and that was probably, you know, that was probably the most rewarding feeling as I stepped into this sort of new role as a teacher. Coach type of a role, and that was really special.
Do you find this more rewarding than competing professionally in the game?
I think that's a really good question. I don't know if I can give you a great answer on that, but it's definitely not. I don't know if it's as rewarding. I do still like to compete, especially when I feel like I've got some confidence, and I played a couple weeks ago in Canada, and you know, it was really funny. I was supposed to be calling the featured holes on PGA Tour Live, and on Tuesday the PGA Tour calls me and says, "Hey, Patrick Reed just withdrew. You're now in his spot in Canada." And so I called the producer of PGA Tour Live, and I said, "Hey, you know, I know I committed to you guys. I don't want to bail on you." And she's like, she's like, "This is unbelievable." She's like, "I don't think we've ever had anybody go from being scheduled to call featured holes to now being in one of our featured groups." She's like, "Go have fun. This is going to be great." And so I was thrown right into the mix and felt like I played decently well, missed the cut by a few shots, but played decently well. And I think I should get another opportunity next week at the John Deere Classic to go compete as well. So I do still like to compete, especially when I feel like I've got some confidence. And it's really hard to replicate the feeling of being in the ropes and competing and hitting the shots and having ownership of it. When you're on the outside of the ropes, you know, you can only do so much. And as rewarding as it is to see, you know, someone play well, have a top 10 in a tournament, or even just to help somebody out of the chipping yips who struggled with it, that's extremely rewarding as well. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think I was sort of born and bred to be a competitive athlete, and I think that's what really probably fires up my juices at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Totally. I get it. I mean, yes. And getting a call like that, boy, the adrenaline must have been kicking in you.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And so it was fun, you know, and having the cameras on you for 36 holes straight was pretty cool and fun. And, you know, makes you raise your focus level a bit as well. So it was a fun, and I was paired with Cameron Champ and Sebastian Munoz, and both are phenomenal players. And Cameron Champ was, you know, I mean, just mind-blowing how far he can hit the ball.
Yes.
Just absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes. Can I ask you, you know, is that intimidating when, you know, they're hitting it that far? Or is it just, tell me.
It was almost laughable because it was like, it didn't even seem like it was real. You know, I would just laugh at it. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how far he just hit that. Like, that is just mind blowing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't really get intimidated by it because it wasn't like I was like close to him and then trying to keep up with him. It was just like, no, I'm going to just hit my shot, and I know he's going to hit it 80 yards past me. It's going to be fine.
Yes, and that's the secret to this game.
Play your own game.
Yes, play your own game. I mean, let the guy, you know, that one drive does not make, you know, the hole any bigger.
Yeah, you're gonna exactly
have,
right.
Right? You're going to have to drop it in there, and, oh, man. That is awesome. So you're going to be at the John Deere this week coming up.
Yeah, I'm in. I just finished up doing some short game clinics up here in Sun Valley, Idaho, and getting on a plane this afternoon with my family, and we're heading over to the John Deere Classic, and looking forward to a great week over there.
Fantastic. When are you going to do some clinics back in Hawaii? Will you let us know?
That is a great question. I will definitely let you know on that.
Yeah.
I will put you in the loop on when I do that.
Fantastic. And so we're going to be watching you at the John Deere Classic, and we're going to be looking forward to hearing from you whenever you have the time. I know you're busy, but it'd be so cool to be back in the islands and do a short game chef.com lesson. I wanted to put everything in there. You can find Parker McLaughlin. He is PGA Tour champion, UCLA, two-time All-Pac-10. You know, he can teach you a lot. So we're going to look forward to that. And I just am so thrilled that you are so successful. You're getting a little bit of, you know, the rewards on both sides, and you're still competing. That's awesome. Thanks, Parker.
Yeah, thanks, Danielle. A lot of things in the works. I'm trying to develop a membership website so that I can give people full access to everything I got. And so look for that in the next 6 months or so.
Oh, yes. Well, let's talk before 6 months goes by. We'll talk about
Sounds
your website.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I feel like I've left a whole subject out. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. Coming back with Susan Havens, Ka'anapali. Yes, Family Golf Month is coming up. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
So, how have your investments done lately?
Well, my house has certainly appreciated a lot in the last few years.
How do you invest in that?
I put a new Rainer garage door on last year, made it beautiful, and I know I'll get my money when I sell my home. According to all reports, garage doors rank as one of the best improvements for both selling your home faster and getting back your entire investment.
What about cost today?
Rainer doors have never been a better investment. My door is quieter, stronger, safer, and it transformed the look of my house. Better yet, I added value to my home at the same time, and with inflation the way it is, I know everything will be a lot more expensive next year. So now was the perfect time to buy a Rainer door.
Call Rainer now for your stunning new door. Visit HawaiiDoor.com or call 808-732-8860.
That's HawaiiDoor.com, 808-732-8860.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Iwilei. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Okay, you're planning to travel today. You want to go up to the North Shore, Turtle Bay, and you thought you'd go along the scenic route. That beautiful drive, Kamehameha, takes you from Kaneohe all the way up the coast, and it's so wonderful in the morning. Don't go that way. We've got Kamehameha Highway shut down because of what seems to be a 30-inch water main break. And this is right by Punalu'u Beach Park, so right by the mouth of Punalu'u's stream, and that's a lot of water coming down from the mountains and then meeting with all this water that's coming up out of the break. So Board of Water Supply is working. Kamehameha Highway is closed in both directions, and no word yet on when or an estimation of when it'll be reopening. So don't go that route.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Susan Havens, Director of Sales and Marketing, Ka'anapali Golf Course, a Troon Club. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. You've been traveling. You're all over the world. Where did you go? What was your journey for?
So this past week, I attended the IATGO, International Association of Golf Tourism Operators Conference in Reno, Nevada.
Wow.
And it was really impressive to see how many tour operators were there from all over the world, a lot from Europe, a lot from South America, Canada, and then, of course, mainland U.S. And all they wanted to talk about was golf at Ka'anapali and the ocean course at Hokuala on Kauai with myself and my colleague, Hualani Duncan. So we had a great time, and it really was inspiring to see how many people are really putting Hawaii on their bucket list when they're putting together golf travel programs.
Wow. So these people that you were talking to, they would organize the journey for someone who wants to play golf in some fabulous destination like Hawaii?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So some of them specialize in just purely leisure bookings where it's a couple or a family and they just really need to be pointed in the right direction about the islands, even just themselves. We did a lot of destination education. And then you have other tour operators that put together either a women's only trip or some sort of club pro comes with his team and their members, and they put together their own competition within the group. But ultimately, it's with the idea of we want to come to Hawaii and play golf. We want to know where the golf courses are on all the islands and how to fly inter island. I mean, you name it. We answered all sorts of questions. But it's really exciting just to see what a buzz there was in just, okay, we want to put these itineraries together. We want to be able to explain the layouts of the different courses throughout the state. And for them to then go back to their respective clients and really start selling golf in Hawaii. It was really inspiring.
That is. That's wonderful to hear. I was just thinking about taking a journey with my clubs, you know?
Right.
There's something about the clubs and the luggage and, you know, and I always overpack. I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, I might need that.
Right.
So that's exciting. Do you see, we hear that the numbers on Maui and Kauai on the big island, Hawaii Island, have grown substantially since travel has become so popular again. Are you seeing a huge increase?
We are. And, you know, we never really slowed down. And I mean, we can all say that, you know, for the industry in general, right? For how many people took advantage of the extra time to play golf, get back into golf. You know, we had a lot of conversation even this past week at the conference about that lapsed golfer that was saying, you know, I never had time. I'm working too much. You know, it felt like excuse after excuse. And now they're back into it. They've either, you know, joined a club or just committed because they really enjoyed being back on the course again or spending time as a family. And that's really what we saw and what we see at our respective courses with how quickly the tee times are filling up, the demand is there. And then, you know, we're excited about that because then we get to show all these people such an amazing experience at our Ka'anapali golf courses, Hokuala course on Kauai, and just really being able to share such a beautiful experience with them and keep them excited about their golf.
Yeah. Let's talk about Family Golf Month. PGA of America created July to be a Family Golf Month. What does that mean?
So it's really just with the idea of start somewhere. It's a family activity. Get a club in the kids' hands. Get a club in grandma's hands. Whatever it needs to be, get out and play as a family. And whether it's from a competitive level or it's from just family time in the afternoons, it's just a great way to get out as a family and spend time together. So this month for Ka'anapali on Saturday, July 30th, that's the day that we're designating as Family Golf Day. So what that means is we're doing a complimentary 9-hole scramble, one adult, one child, 2-person teams, starting at 5:00 in the afternoon on the Kai course. And it's one where, again, with the idea of let's put teams together, we're going to limit the field probably to be about maybe 18 teams in total. So it'll be smaller, but it's the idea of seeing other families playing together as well. Actually, my apologies. We're doing it on the Royal because we're going to do the lower 9 on the Royal. So that way it's easy to walk. And of course, it's beautiful.
Oh, the Royal course, you know, Robert Trent Jones course. It's phenomenal. So is the Kai, but it's, you know, just the history, the oldness of it doesn't sound right. But it's, you know, it's grown in. I just love older courses.
Oh. Yeah. And this year, the Ka'anapali golf courses, we're actually celebrating our 60th anniversary. The courses were just opened in 1962. So it's also a landmark year for us to celebrate the history and even just looking at all the old vintage photos of the Ka'anapali resort community with just, you know, Royal Lahaina just getting constructed, Sheraton Maui was being built, opened in 63, and then the golf courses and, you know, being opened in 62, and then just nothing. They're incredible pictures to see.
I bet. I've spent many a year, you know, for a couple of days on Maui for the various tournaments that were played, you know, the skins and so much fun, just a whole lot of fun to experience that and to play. Now, let's make it clear to folks about when you talk about family golf day, it does, you can tee it forward. If grandma doesn't feel like hitting far, you know, she's not up for that, you can bring her out for the walk and drop. She could drop the ball close to the green, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And really, when we started talking about what our vision was for this, Carl Rule, our general manager, you know, he had such an inspiration, too, to say, the idea is, again, just bring people together. It doesn't need to be extremely competitive. It doesn't need to be, you know, all these amazing prizes that you can win. It's about time together. So when Carl and I started talking about, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, what's our goal? Our goal is to get people to spend time together playing golf. So what then should be the result of that? So it was great to be able to have that conversation. And then Sherry Golden, our head golf professional, she's incredible. And she sees so many families that are coming together and coming out to play as well. So in addition to what we started doing for this idea of Family Golf Month and that particular day on Saturday, July 30th, we've also highlighted on the Kai course for the summer, so the Ka'anapali Kai Golf Course, after 2:30 p.m. every day this summer, a junior age 7 to 12 plays free with the paying adult. And so Sherry firmly believed in that as well because, again, she sees the families coming in and these kids, you know, they're just getting started as well. I understand. My kids are 6 and 8. You just want to go around with them for a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, how do we make that happen without and being able to make it easy and affordable for those families to go and do that?
That's great. So tell us again. That was fast. So juniors are going to, if they're 7 to 12, they play free with their parent. What time?
So anytime after 2:30 p.m. on the Ka'anapali Kai Golf Course.
Got it.
So the ages 7 to 12 is free with that paying adult all summer long.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, there's some people who are thinking, you know, oh, I want cardio. I need cardio. I need to run. Well, foot golf. You have foot golf.
Correct.
At Ka'anapali.
Yeah, and when we talk about creating as many experiences for people to be able to enjoy the golf course in many ways as possible, that was really with the idea and the concept of how foot golf was created. So what it is a layout. It's a 9-hole layout where you combine soccer and golf. So we have large 5-gallon bucket type diameter holes and soccer balls. So then you go out and you play like you're playing golf. You're just kicking. And it's great for all ages and all skill levels, and it gets you out on the course. We see a lot of families that they have teenagers or kids that are a little bit older, and they think, okay, what else should we go and do as a family? Well, foot golf is such a great thing to be able to do. So we're highlighting that as well this month, well, all summer long, but as our all-inclusive options for what we're showcasing for July's Family Golf Month. And it's been really fun. We're actually in the middle of a foot golf open tournament by the community for the community. So we set it up, teams signed up. It's coming down. We've got 2 more Fridays left for the tournament. And it's just great to see friends coming together as another way to experience the Kai course.
That's funny. That's really wonderful. So the tournament is going on for multiple weeks, and then at the end, how do you keep score?
Well, you keep score like you would. Each hole has its own par, and so it's a single elimination tournament. So teams signed up, and then they got paired up in brackets, and then now we're down to just a handful of teams left, and it's been on Friday night. So it's a tradition I'm sure that we'll continue doing at least annually. Because it's been a lot of fun. And again, it's really a way to showcase what foot golf is to other people that maybe haven't been to the golf course yet. And then maybe they get inspired to want to go hit a bucket of balls. Who knows if they're not already golfers?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So tell me, how many teams did you get?
So it started off with 16 teams. So, and down, we're now we're down to the last four.
Far out. I know this is great because there are some courses that have, I think, tried to do foot golf, but then couldn't. How do you promote that? This is a perfect way to do that.
And it's local businesses that are putting a team together of coworkers, groups of friends, families. So it's, you know, it's a, it doesn't really matter how you want to put your team together.
Sure.
So it's really a great way to have another activity. And like you said, have that cardio, have that exercise, kick the ball, run around. Yes, you can rent a golf cart if you would like, as, in addition to the 9-hole foot golf course, but a lot of people do choose to walk because it's a fun. And we do it every afternoon on the tie course starting at 4. So it's a great late afternoon thing to go and do in the day. So the timing of it works really well.
Susan Havens, have I given you, I don't know if I've brought everything up that you wanted to talk about.
So, you know, I think, Daniel, just having an opportunity to share, you know, how families can spend time together on the golf course. As you mentioned, we have our Royal Ka'anapali golf course, even with multi-round packages for both visitors who are coming this summer and want to be able to experience the courses because maybe they're staying at one of our great Ka'anapali golf resorts within our community. That's why we created those multi-round packages for them to be able to stay and play. The Ka'anapali Kai course has 8 brand new bunkers, Billy Bunker style. As I mentioned, Carl and his team, when they realized, okay, what do we need to do to showcase an amazing course as well with the Kai? Our superintendents and agronomy directors, Todd Allen and Kyle Pu'uahi, I mean, they are just experts in what they do, and the course just looks incredible. So it's a great way to come out and either travel inner island and stay and play in Ka'anapali. And for those that are visiting and are making up, you know, these numbers of people that are coming and they're so excited and they've always wanted to be playing golf in Hawaii, now is the time to come and play. And Ka'anapali just offers that experience that everybody walks away going, oh, that is really, those are great courses. And that was a really fun time.
And you have a great restaurant where everybody can eat, right?
Exactly. Roy's Ka'anapali is the restaurant at our clubhouse. So we're really excited to have them as our partners. Maddie Dochen and his team, they just do such a great job. And, of course, the food is awesome. We, of course, enjoy their chocolate souffle for dessert. It's always a winner. I just love it. It just recently got in one of the Hawaii Food Awards for best dessert because it is.
Wow.
But ultimately, too, Danielle, we've got our website. It's an encompassing of all the things we've talked about today. KaanapaliGolfCourses.com. And then, of course, our social channels, Facebook, Instagram. And we always encourage our guests to post and share their photos. Tag us with hashtag Ka'anapali Golf so we can see everybody's enjoyment of the course. And it's always wonderful to see those smiles when they're out enjoying paradise, especially the 5th hole of the Royal course down there by the water.
Spectacular. Susan Havens, Director of Sales and Marketing, Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Mahalo to you and your team. You guys do such great work, and we love that you keep the Golf Show Radio going, and it's a wonderful, we love hearing everything that you have to say each Saturday, so
thank you
for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Aloha. We've got Ron Syrak coming off the golf course and into the clubhouse after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shin Daiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
All righty. We've got the a beautiful opportunity to tell you that it's going to be another gorgeous day in Hawaii. It's going to be hot, so you must put on some sunscreen. That will definitely save you. We're going to have somebody on to talk about sunscreen and the best ones to use and making sure that you protect yourself from the sun, from the elements. and we'll have them on soon. We are KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award, and the LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author with Vision 54, the trilogy, Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. They wrote together 3 books, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Get it. And he's a member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me on once again. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you. Now, how was your round of golf?
It was a lovely day here on Cape Cod, and I ended up with more money in my pocket than when I started. So
oh,
it was a good day.
Bravo, bravo. I'm sure, the LPGA, $9 million, is it now they're playing for? This is, of course, for the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. That's a lot of money on the line.
Yeah, this has been a good year for the LPGA. The 5 majors raised their purses a total of $13.9 million. And for the KPMG Women's PGA to double the purse from $4.5 million to $9 million is just, it just shows everything about the women's game right now is trending in the right direction. They're going to be playing this year for well over $90 million, probably close to $100 million. And it wasn't that long ago. A decade ago, they were playing for about $40 million.
Right, right. I mean, and, you know, the everything with question is, who do I stay with? You know, for the top 20 players, they might be able to afford it. But for those who are, you know, in the 50s, 60s, they'd need to find somebody to, you know, open a house where they could stay. That it was not easy.
Yeah, it's phenomenal how far it's coming. When you think the first year that Mike Wann was commissioner of the LPGA, 2010, they were down to 23 tournaments, and they were playing for $41 million. And the way that he turned that tour around, put them on solid footing, and then you've seen the governors of the game, the USGA, the RNA, the PGA of America, have all stepped up to realize that they got to start pouring more money into the women's game. And they know the growth potential there, that it'll grow recreational golf on the women's side if they get more attention for the women professionals. And that's what they're doing. And I think it's going to pay huge dividends down the road.
Good, because I want to ask you about the draw that may come from a place that we're not going to name it yet. Just trying to get the players away. We're going to go straight to the leaderboard. Inji Chun, boy, she really floored everyone at how well she was playing with that 64. What, she had a 6-stroke lead at just out of the gate?
Yeah, you know, she's a remarkable player. She's one of those players that when she gets on, she's hard to stop. She's won 3 LPGA events, and 2 of them are major championships. She won the U.S. Women's Open in 2015, and then she won the Avion Championship in 2016. And, you know, the tournament's sort of firmly in her hands right now. There's a lot of big names lurking: Brooke Henderson, Lydia Ko, Jin Young Ko, Lexi Thompson. But they all need help from her. She needs to come backwards to them. I think she's in a position right now where just play par golf on the weekend. She's gonna be the champion. She's gonna have her third different major championship.
Oh, wow, that is really something. Yeah, Se-young Kim, Hannah Green, Jennifer Kupcho, all chasing, you know, 6-under, 5-under. NG is still 10-under. Avaya Titi Cole at 3-under. Lexi Thompson is there. Brooke Henderson, as you mentioned. Jennifer Chang, Lydia Ko. Lydia Ko had an interesting experience. I think she was talking about just being present but not too invested in outcome when she was talking with the media about her game. That's really important.
She's got one of the best attitudes of anybody out there. She truly knows how to enjoy the game and how not to link her happiness too well, too completely to the scores on the scorecard. You know, she's not going to let what she shoots determine whether she's a happy person. And I think that kind of attitude carries over for you. And it helps you play better golf, helps you access better feelings in yourself if you're not angry, if you're not disappointed in what you did. She's really has convinced me over last year and going into this year now that I think we're going to see Lydia play the way that we saw her play 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I think we're going to see another spurt of really good golf coming from her, because, as I said, her attitude is just her head screwed on right.
Right, exactly. I see her smiling more than I see her frowning, and that's a big change that I've seen over several years. So as I was watching Golf Channel, and as I mentioned, you know, Golf Channel contributor, you were on the air with talking about your picks, Nelly Korda and Leona McGuire. Were those your picks for this tournament?
Yeah, well, one of the things that they asked me was, I think 5 of the last 6 winners of the women's PGA have been first-time major champions, and they asked me who I thought might fit into that this time, and I said Leona McGuire,
yeah,
because she was coming off, she had a 4-0-1 Solheim Cup, and Nelly Korda did the same thing in 2019. She had a 3-0-1 Solheim Cup. And, I mean, throw out 2020, that was the COVID year. But she came back and played great, great golf last year and really had her breakout year in 2021. And I'm sort of looking for Leona McGuire to do it. She's already won her first LPGA event this year. And I would not be surprised to see her at a major championship sometime real soon.
Yeah, but it's so hard to make picks. You know, if you were on site, I think like you are so many times, that you're able to sense a person's energy level. Doing it over the television, people always have a happy face on for the most part. I was thinking, wow, that's really dangerous. But Nelly Korda is amazing that she's come back after all of the, you know, recovery that she's had to go from the a surgery that she had to endure, and just the fear factor alone. She's bounced back very nicely, hasn't she?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised that she did as well as she did at Pine Needles in the U.S. Women's Open. I was down there for that tournament, and it's hard enough to come back after nearly 4 months away from competition, because one thing you can't practice on the range is the pressure of competition. But let alone to come back and make your first tournament back, a major championship, and the U.S. Women's Open at that, which is usually the toughest setup they're going to face all year. And the fact that she came right out of the gate and hit the ground running on her return makes me think that she wants to reclaim that number one spot in the world ranking that she had for a while, and she wants to take it back from Jin Young Ko.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see her sprinting very, very hard through the rest of this season.
It's great. It's great. Now, I am seeing numbers that indicate the golf course is difficult to play. So,
yeah.
For instance, NG Chun is 1-over for the, you know, on this round. What have they done to the Congressional?
Well, I mean, the complaints that I saw early on, particularly on Thursday, Friday was the length of it. You know, on Thursday, which was sort of a bad day, it had rained overnight. It was cool. It was sort of breezy. They had a par five that was playing 585 yards.
Whoa!
And you know, somebody tweeted. I forget who it was. Might have been Joey Urshadoff, but somebody tweeted about, you know, hey, you know, I had to hit a three hybrid into a par five green the size of the bathroom in my hotel room, and it was my third shot. You know, I mean, to have to hit a hybrid for your third shot on a par five, that's too long of a golf hole.
It just sounds torturous. But it's a major championship. Brittany Lincecum, she's so cute. She is playing, right? And I saw a photo of her, and she's headed off to maternity leave.
Yeah, this is going to be it for her. She's gonna take the rest of the year off and have another child. And I mean, it's amazing that she's played as long. I think she's 7.5 months.
Yes.
You know, it's she's very deep into her pregnancy. Let's put it that way.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I worked all the way up to the day he said he was arriving, and I said, "Oh dear."
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of carry it. Indeed. I was speaking of Twitter. I was, because that's where I saw Brittany Lincecum. And when I saw her belly, it was like, wow, she's still playing. You posted something that was a lot of fun. National Golf Foundation says 18 million people in the U.S. played miniature golf an average of 4 times last year. And about 6 yep. million were also on-course golfers. But there were a significant number that weren't, right?
Yeah, that's what I focused on. They were excited about 6 million of those were on, and they liked the demographic. 45% of them were women, and the majority were under, the average age was 34. Those are two things that golf wants to do, more women and get younger. But I was focused on the fact that 12 million people played miniature golf at least 4 times last year, and they're not golfers. And you know, we got to reach those people somehow. I went to In 2003, I went to Sweden and spent some time over there to figure out why were they so successful growing the game in a country that doesn't really have summer. And one of the things that I found out about them is any place that they could put a golf club in somebody's hand, they did. They went to street fairs. They went to the beach. They went to ski resorts. They set up hitting bays. They had putting greens. They did anything they could to expose people to the game of golf. And I think the PGA of America, the USGA, needs to look at these numbers from miniature golf and say, you know, maybe we should have hitting bays set up at a miniature golf course. You know, maybe we should have a simulator, something to make these people get exciting about wanting to play real golf.
I like the idea of, you know, hitting golf balls in the snow.
Yeah.
The ski resorts.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. But you're right. I mean, what's stopping us here? Let's move on.
I think it's one of the things you're going to see Mike Wan do now that he's CEO of the USGA, and he's hired Heather Daly D'Onofrio, who was a former LPGA player, was an executive at the LPGA.
Yes,
and she's going to be in charge of developing a national growth program here, a national team program. You know, and that's a step in the right direction. We've been needing it for a long time to have a national program here the way they do in other countries.
Yes. I mean, yes. Now tell us what other countries do and what do we want to do here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we see it all the time. And I think it's one of the reasons why Europe overperforms in both the Solheim Cup and the Ryder Cup. They play a lot of national competitions over there. You know, England will play France. France will play Spain. And, you know, they have these national competitions. And it's in their mindset. It probably goes back to World Cup soccer and the fact that the concept of having national teams and having those national teams compete against other countries is something that they do. We don't do that so much. You know, it gets on our radar screen maybe once every 4 years with the Olympics. But I think that Mike Wan wants the USGA to get much more involved with having American teams that are out there competing more often against other countries.
Very important. Yes, absolutely. Not just one-on-one, but team events. That's a great idea. Can we talk a little LIV Golf?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, talking about Twitter, I've staked out where I stand on LIV Golf, and I've gotten hammered pretty good by those people who are the pro LIV Golf people. But go ahead, ask your question.
What did you think about the decision by Monahan, to the commissioner of the PGA Tour, to make much smaller those who qualify for the FedEx playoffs? Maybe in response to the dangers of LIV.
I don't agree with a lot of the changes that the PGA Tour is making. I know why they're making. Look, if this comes down to just about money, the PGA Tour cannot compete with the Saudis. PGA Tour's total revenue stream for this year is going to be about $1.5 billion. The Saudis are paying more than that just in guaranteed appearance fee money for the players that they have lined up to play LIV Golf. So, how do you compete if your competition has a business model where they don't care if they lose money, where they know they're going to lose money? How do you compete against them? Because the PGA Tour can't afford to lose money. I think that they've done a great job of they built this emergency fund up, $300 million. And then when COVID came, they spent $75 million to get the tour through COVID, to keep running tournaments, to keep putting money into player pension fund and stuff. But that's the point that I keep coming back to, is what's going to decide whether LIV Golf is a success or not is whether the fans and the players like the competitive aspect of it. And to me, 48 players, 54 holes, shotgun start, doesn't work for me. That doesn't create an atmosphere that excites me.
Somebody said, well, when it's a shotgun start, then there won't be any waiting for somebody, on let's say the 17th tee. You won't have to wait for the guys to finish because they're not done yet. They're not on 18 yet.
Well, all right, but say, it's a 54-hole tournament, so somebody's got the lead after 36 holes. So they tee off on number one when the shotgun starts for the final round. And say somebody tees off on number eight, and they shoot a 64 and come from six strokes back, and they catch the leader, except the leader's going to be finishing on number 18, and that person making this dramatic charge is going to finish on number seven. I mean, if you're a fan, how are you in two places at once to watch both of those players finish? And I don't get it.
No, you're right. I don't get it either. That's why, when we had the U.S. Open, it was a perfect example.
Oh,
right.
Yep. That was what a great finish that was. I mean, we got two guys in Fitzpatrick and Zalatoris. Neither of them had ever won a PGA Tour event. They're in the last group in the last round of the U.S. Open, and both of them held up under enormous pressure. Both of them shot under par in the final round, and Fitzpatrick has to hit a heroic fairway bunker shot to seal the deal, and Zalatoris still has a putt at birdie to force a playoff. It was an exciting, dramatic finish. And if they're not finishing on the same hole, you don't have any of that.
It's hysterical. The idea that the two top contenders aren't competing against one another, it just doesn't make any sense. And people are talking about, they're married to the money. The allure of all this money just seems to make such an incredible impact on people.
Well, Andy Ogletree played the first event in London, and he shot 81, 77, 75. He finished last. He got $120,000 for finishing last. He could play all eight LIV events, never break 75, and make $960,000 for finishing last in every event. To me, that doesn't grow the game. That doesn't encourage players to get better. It doesn't incur. I mean, you're guaranteed almost $1 million just to show up and not pass out during the course of your round, you know?
Did you just say not pass out?
Yes, I did. As long as you finish on your feet, you're going to get $120,000. And who knows? They may give you your $120,000 even if you do pass out. I don't know.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, you know, I...
So I guess I made it clear which side I'm on.
No, no. And I... Well, I'm on that side, too, for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. You know, in addition to it being laughable, which is I am happy to do, the way they think they're going to show a competitive tournament, it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. And I don't know what their end game is. You know, I just really...
Well, I think their end game, you know, I went in 2011, I went to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Bahrain to do a story on why do they have golf tournaments over there. And what I found, what they're trying to do is diversify their economy. You know, the economy is almost entirely oil dependent. They're trying to diversify it, and they're moving into banking, real estate, and tourism. And they're using sports to help all of that, particularly the tourist part. There's not only golf in the Middle East. There's tennis, Formula One, auto racing. I think in 2024, World Cup soccer is going to be in Qatar. You know, these are all things to try to get people to view that area as, if you live in London, to fly from London to Dubai is like flying from New York to Los Angeles. So if you're a rich person, you can have your winter home there. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create that atmosphere so that the Middle East is seen as a tourist alternative, as a real estate alternative. They want rich people buying real estate there.
So, geez, I can think of a whole lot of better ways to do that. Okay. You know, you always
enlighten.
Well,
remember I said the PGA Tour this year has a revenue stream of $1.5 billion. The investment fund of Saudi Arabia, which is the money behind the LIV Golf Tour, has $650 billion. So you're talking $1 billion against $650 billion.
It's
tough competition.
Yeah, it is tough competition. Ron Cyrak, thank you so much for being on the show with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Sorry if I got a little riled up.
No, I'm enjoying it. Get riled up. Thank you.
I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Aloha. Well, thank our sponsors, Aloha Power Equipment's mega store next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. Yes, the Waipahu store is open. And whether you go to the Waipahu store or to the mega store in Iwile, you'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment that you need, want. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their mega store on Alakava next door to the Costco gas station. MD Restoration, flood, fire disasters. If you need help, call MD. They are on it any time of the day or night, and they're licensed contractors. So not will they just help with the mitigation of the current situation. They'll put everything back together again. They'll help do your cleanup and your repair. You are thinking about getting a home. Well, you need to first call Derek at Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender, and they make sure the buyer knows everything. They educate their buyers about what's going on when buying a home, and they get you pre-qualified. Call Derek. That's right, 808-445-4038. Rainer Doors, you heard him talk about it. Yes, a beautiful look, maximum security, quiet, safe. Mm-hmm. All of that adding value to your home as well. It's the perfect time to buy a Rainer door. Call 676-3667. Check them out. HawaiiDoor.com. And we are honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to find a PGA at your local golf course. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.